3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
I flashed a 70-year-old woman.
It was with my mouth.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
Making it from the young in the kitchen. Sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, when that's a fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies, that will only get bad. The stream is good with the DLTS.org. And I see channels on LinuxTech.net. Bound tech show, just sit right there, cause the gallon's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 976. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Merry October.
We have Joel.
Hello.
We have Joe.
Hello, hello.
And we have the pirate.
Ahoy, me hearties.
Yes. And
yarr.
The audio that time started out strong, but I heard some glitching there towards the end.
I'm trying to figure out why,
like, some of it is just like, I don't know. It's clipping really bad, and the volume is just really, I'm trying to figure out why that is. And because if I play the Hillbilly one, that's the one that, and yeah, I'm trying to figure out what was that, what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like me and Joel both got 3D printing stuff to talk about.
We do a little bit, although I haven't started it yet. I think you have already done it, but my fan, probably the power supply fan, is becoming really, really freaking noisy. Like, sounds like the bearing's about shot on it. So I found a YouTube video out there that goes over replacing all the fans and gave me all the sizes. One of the fans is going to be replaced with an Noctua. The other two are
they all like 40-40s, 40-20s?
No, they're all different sizes. Actually, I can probably go look on my Amazon because I ordered the exact ones that he had.
No upgrades?
Technically, the Noctua would be an upgrade.
Ah, but same size.
Right.
Okay.
Let's see. The Noctua is a 420, which is a 40 by 20. The one that goes in the front is a 50 millimeter. It says 51-50 millimeter. Noise. It's a noise blocker black silent fan. And then the other one is a StarTech 60 by 10. I think that's the one that goes inside the power supply.
Hmm.
Which I do have to open as well.
Yeah, it should be smaller.
Yeah.
Well, 60-10 makes sense.
Yeah, 10 millimeter thick. Yeah, so it's going to be thinner. So, but, and I think if I remember right in the video I watched, I think on that one, it is a little larger than the default, so the holes didn't necessarily match up, so you only kind of got really, you don't really have to have all four corners screwed down in order for it to stay solid, because it's not like that thing's moving all over the place.
Right.
So I think I have to watch the video again, because I think he either got only one or maybe two screws in. So all I know is I just would like to – I've already got my – the sound for the steppers is now drastically reduced when I replace the board probably a couple years ago now, because I was in the apartment when I did that, because the board that came with it just pooped the bed. So that's got Marlin firmware on it. I don't know what version. I don't really – it's not one of those things where I will upgrade that constantly. You know, I don't build it very often.
Right.
But that board is the SKR 1.3, I think it is, from Big Tree. It directly fits right into my Predator's control box, so no problems there. Everything hooked up nicely. And other than I had one of the heat sinks slip fall off the one of the stepper drivers, but if I remember right, I also busted the micro SD card slot, so I had to do that twice. So the ones that are on there, when I opened it up just to clean it out and see if maybe there was a cable or something dragging on the fan making that noise. Nah, it's not that. It's got to be the bearing at this point. So
yeah, my power supply fan makes some noise when the machine first starts.
Yeah, that's
but exactly after what a little while, getting. It just stops.
Yeah, that's what I was getting. So,
but that's the only fan I haven't replaced. So, I mean, I've replaced everything now from the extruder all the way through the hot end. So right. Everything there, like all the motors are still the same. Just I had already replaced like the heater block and I had left the thermistor and the heater core there, but that block, the throat, the PTFE tubing I had replaced with Capricorn tubing.
Yep.
And you know, I did all the tricks on the hot end to get the tubing to squidge up against the nozzle, and no matter what I did, I was still getting like hot or heat that leaks back up into it, heat creep, and it would clog. So and it would just stop printing to the point. But because I had replaced like the extruder gears with like all aluminum, and they're really kind of powerful, kept pushing filament through, and it would rip the PTFE tubing out from the coupler. Huh. So yeah, I could have just it's most likely a fan slowing down that caused that issue.
Probably, yeah.
So I could have just replaced the one fan, but I know that's going to be just as much work as doing everything else. So I just ordered a whole new front assembly for that.
Yeah,
the shroud, the two fans, the heater block, the PTFE tubing, all together in one piece. Yeah, it costs like $10 more, but it's still not expensive. $24 instead of $13. So
I've seen that before, but usually that's what I end up doing now. I also have done because I kept getting clogs, and I don't like the CHEPS fix for that. And I found a titanium bimetal insert. So basically the tubing just goes right in the top of the insert. And
It's getting an all metal hot end or
replacing
the throat with
right.
something that won't allow the PTFE tubing through. Yep. And then you just mount it correct.
I had a micro Swiss, which worked really well, but I actually like this combo better. Cause then when I won't say it wears out or anything, cause it really doesn't wear out, but if I had to replace it, you know.
Right. You have that replaceable part instead of having to buy a whole new all-metal hot end. Because eventually,
those are expensive.
They do wear out. Well, they eventually, something happens, and they get so clogged that you just can't clean them, and then you have to buy another one.
Yep. So, and then another trick I've done, too, is I have a can of WD-40 PTFE dry lube. And what I'll do is I'll put under the nozzle, I'll take some shop rags or something, fold it under that so it doesn't go onto the build plate, and then spray that down the throat. And I do that whenever it starts to feed inconsistently, I'll do that, and that usually fixes it.
Mm.
So with the hot, and that's what I did with the when I had the micro Swiss too, but I just can't afford to replace a Micro Swiss every year.
Yeah. Well, they make some off-brand ones, but I don't know about the quality on those.
Right. Micro Swiss is one I do recommend, but
and you're still looking and paying more than just, you know, for a regular one.
Yep. So
but technically you can print at higher temperatures with less problems, so more range of materials.
Yep. So, and I have I got three, although I'd like to reprint the other one. There are several it's a one Thingiverse article, these pumpkins that are designed to be printed in vase mode, which are great for just putting some candy in or something like that for around this time of year. Although what I might do is I might take one of those and go to like Hobby Lobby or something and get some dry flowers, you know, fall color flowers and some floral putty and make kind of a centerpiece for either my island or I could do both. I could do the one for the island in my kitchen and one for our Thanksgiving table, because I am going to have turkey. I'm debating whether I want to do one or two turkeys, one regular and one on my smoker.
I should also mention that I did the entire replacement, I was printing with a 0.6 millimeter instead of the standard 0.4 millimeter. And things were coming out pretty good before I started getting that heat creep problem.
Right.
But I didn't want to crank the temperature up more, even though you need higher temperatures when printing with a 0.6 than a 0.4 because you get higher flow. Right now, I'm out of 0.6s, so I'm back to a 0.4.
Yep. I'd like to try. I think you could go all the way up to a 0.8.
I have 0.8s.
Yeah.
0.6, you maintain precision pretty well. But from what I understand, going to a 0.8 is great for like vase mode. So probably good for those pumpkins you're talking about.
Right.
But not so great for detail.
Yeah. The 0.4, yeah, exactly. But the 0.4 does really well on these pumpkins. So not going to switch it out just for that. I'm just looking for when I want to do larger, more structural prints.
Yeah.
So they don't take as freaking long. actually, what I probably should do is...
that's the nice thing about 0.6, you know, maintaining the precision, but cutting my time basically in half.
Right. And that's why I might try that first. And actually, what I think would be an excellent idea, especially since the hot ends aren't that expensive, is have two hot ends, one with the 0.6 on it all the time, the other with the standard 0.4. And then you can just switch the hot end out instead of switching the nozzle out.
I know with the Ender 3, you're supposed to be able to put a second nozzle on there.
Yeah.
But you have to change out the software, and I don't know what else you have to do.
Yeah. I'd love to get a CR30, but I just can't justify the price right now.
Yeah.
It's like $800.
I saw somebody that had like a CR10 for $200 on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. Actually, I need to keep an eye out for every once in a while Micro Center will do the, I want to say it's the Ender 3 Pro.
Yeah.
For $100.
Yeah. Well, they'll do that with whatever is the current model. Occasionally, they'll just have a massive sale on. I know that they did that with the V2 once or twice.
And eventually, I want to go get a resin for some other things, but I got to figure out where I would put it. Because I don't necessarily want the resin up here in my office.
Lovely smell.
Yeah, the resin can be really nasty smelling. Not to mention the fact to clean everything out, you got to... rinse it. Well, rinse your prints off with rubbing alcohol, like the 90%.
Right.
Which I have not found in gallon bottles yet. I usually just get them like Sam's Club would have three.
On Amazon the two half gallons.
That's what I probably should do. I do load one up into spray bottle for cleaning it. I usually buy, like, there's a three-pack they have at Sam's Club, which is decently priced. It was actually hard to find that, though, over the last couple years, because thank you, pandemic.
Right, yep. Yeah, you could not get rubbing alcohol for love or money for there for a while.
Nope.
Didn't matter if it was...
Or hand sanitizer, either.
Or hand sanitizer. Didn't matter if it was 90%, 99%, nothing. 75%, you could not get it.
Yep. But that works great at cleaning the hairspray off the glass platform.
Yes, it does. Well, it's really good for electronics in general. So
yes.
I mean, it's great to have around for soldering to clear off flux and things like that.
Yep. I might just hold off on putting the fans in for now. I'm not in a heavy print mode right now anyway. I actually have to still design our annual Christmas ornament yet. So yeah,
I'm printing quite a bit right now. I want to print out a different fan shroud, one that does better like part cooling for better bridging. But I'm also printing out some Halloween decorations this week.
Yeah.
So.
It's just funny you mention that. I have the one I printed out last year, which is a spooky tree with these little pumpkins hanging off of it. That's on my mantle downstairs. We're actually probably going to get our pumpkins this weekend. I usually wait until now to get it because it's Circleville Pumpkin Show week. I don't get them at the show, though. I usually either get them at home, on my way home. I used to go to this mom-and-pop pumpkin farm that hasn't been... Their last year was like 2018, I think. So, guy that ran it, you know, he's getting up there in age. It's probably about late 70s, early 80s. Just didn't want to do it anymore.
I've got some clear ABS. Let's see if I got some clear PLA.
Cool stuff.
I don't want to print with ABS right now. I'd rather wait until I had an enclosure.
Yeah.
Well, in the dark ABS. A bunch of PETG.
The dark stuff is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to buy another roll of that.
But not the glow-in-the-dark ABS.
Yep.
Ooh, I have some orange. I can use the orange.
Well,
that should be PETG. I have orange PETG. That'll do fine.
Another thing that we did over the weekend, my wife finally decided she wanted to upgrade her iPhone XR. So we got her an iPhone 14. She's an iPhoner, of course.
Yeah, some people like garbage.
Well, here's the deal, though. When we did, it was kind of cool the way Verizon does it now is I can set up the order really just on my phone using their app and go pick it up at the store. Okay, so one of the options they give you was, hey, do you want to trade your old phone in? Because hers has been paid off for like a year or two. And I said, yeah, and she basically gets her iPhone 14 for free. So we just got to send in the old one, of course. So, in fact, I got to ask her if we ever got as I saw the box, what's kind of funny is they didn't just give me like the shipping stuff when we got to the store to pick up the phone. They sent it to us, and I saw the tracking come through in the email, but I haven't seen it. In fact, I haven't seen her old phone either, I don't think, so I got to make sure we get that back here soon. Even if she didn't, hers was only going to be like $20 a month. So she doesn't switch every couple years like I do. So
yeah, I still got to use the warranty, or not the warranty, the insurance that I have on mine to replace the screen because I got burn-in.
Oh, bummer. Yeah. So they made us change our plans because we had a long grandfathered in shared data plan. With only 16 gigabytes, so now I have unlimited, and I have what Verizon calls the Get More plan on mine and my wife's, and that means you get free Apple Music, free Disney Plus,
free shit.
Basically, yeah.
On Apple Music.
But Apple Music. See, They have, well, here's the cool thing is they actually do have the Android app, so I can use it on my phone. So
I guess having Disney Plus would be kind of cool.
Yeah, the Disney Plus is the free the no ad package too. So there's no ads.
How
on
long
any
does plan. That last, or is that forever?
Forever.
How much extra is that?
$90
a month extra, right?
No, nothing like that. No, their default is the regular 5G plan. With, oh, that's with the ultra wide band. Although I've yet to see that actually. it was only like $10 difference per month.
Oh wait, that's only on your phone though, right?
No. Nope.
What?
Everywhere. On my
iPad. Accounts
and
account.
Too. Yep. An accounts and account. And on Hulu as well. Which meet the free ad-free program on Hulu.
Did you get
included
like
with that.
Discovery
ESPN
Channel
Plus too?
Too.
I can, but that's only a 6-month deal on that, which I didn't want to do that. Free Play Pass on the Play Store. So there's some free games on there. Not that I've mobile games suck. I
depends, you know, on the game.
Well, that's true. It does depend on the game, but like
there's not a lot of good ones out
like,
there.
I'm first. Not really, no. But of course, the one I wish they would have gave me, HBO Max. That's not a part of the deal. I wish it was, because they're bringing out a real sequel to A Christmas Story. A real one with Peter Billingsley playing Ralphie.
No, that's how it's going to go over just as well as the other sequel. But go ahead.
They're planning on bringing out a sequel to Twister, even though Bill Paxton's dead.
Yeah, that one I don't get. Well, I guess it's supposed to be about his daughter, but...
Yeah.
But we'll see on the Twister sequel. But no, this one isn't. This one's not like the second sequel where they had the everyone was replaced and Ralphie was some other actor, and the guy playing the old man was Daniel Stern from Home Alone. Like that didn't work. Gavin McLeod, I think it was Gavin, right? Gavin McLeod, I think, played the dad in the original. But so this one's like Ralphie with his family. So I think that could be good. We shall see. And I bet you, let's see, the original was set in what, the 40s or 50s? So maybe this might be 70s or 80s? We'll see. I don't know. It's worth paying 1 month of HBO Max to see it, in my opinion. Which I probably will. That comes out like November 16th. So, but that's what the bundle plans though on Verizon get you.
You don't get. I guess you don't get Apple TV, do you?
No, I don't, but I do pay for it.
But Apple Music you get with it, but not Apple TV.
Right, yeah. That one, I just did it. You know, I already pay for YouTube Premium, so I get YouTube Music for free.
Do you still have to use, like, iTunes for Apple Music?
That's a good question. It's its own app. Because it's essentially Apple Music is its own app. So it's a streaming, like, for example, on my phone, there is an Android version of it, too. So I believe it's mostly like a streaming kind of deal. Yeah, Apple Music app. So, and I'm trying to think. Wait, was I not already signed in? Yeah, the damn thing kicked my ass out. Okay, no worries. I can just sign back in.
You know what? Speaking of streaming, when I was talking about this before about the battery life on my Pixel 4.
Right.
You know what I really notice is starting to go down? Is no. When I, shortly after I got the Bluetooth headset, and I started using YouTube Music. Like, when I would go for a run or a walk in the morning, if I was getting, like, connection issues with my MP3 player, sometimes I would just switch over to YouTube Music. When I take the dog for a walk at night, I would switch over to YouTube Music off of there.
Bluetooth can really kill your battery like that.
I always turn it off when I'm finished, though. I turn off these headphones and I turn off Bluetooth on my phone. And I notice that for some reason it keeps getting turned back on. And I don't know why. Like, I hate that. I wish it would just stay off. But for some reason it just keeps turning back on sometimes. And that's why when I looked under the apps, I've been watching under the apps under the battery usage, I never see like it's using that much battery. But that's when I started noticing the most. And also on that, the weirdest thing, right? Like, now, I was, like, down here working out, and my device, my MP3 player, wasn't charged one day. And I had to run upstairs. Like, so I was listening to YouTube Music, and I had to run upstairs to my bedroom, or up to the second floor, and I went all the way up and came all the way back down. I didn't lose Bluetooth signal at all, right? I was like, holy shit, that's really wild, right? That I could go all the way up and down. Now, I can go up the stairs, hop of the stairs with the Bluetooth on my MP3 player up to the kitchen, which is where it goes into, and then I start losing the signal with the MP3 player, right? So the weirdest thing that I noticed, and this happens all the time, when I go for like a walk in the morning, like after I worked out, if I can go for a run, sometimes I go for a walk. There's a bridge that I cross over the moat right up. It's like two blocks away.
Right.
The moment I get on that bridge, I lose my Bluetooth signal goes.
Yeah.
100% of the time. And it's like I have to hold the thing like right up to my to the headphones almost to have it. And as soon as I get across the bridge, it's fine. Back again. Right. And I'm like, what is it about this bridge that's killing the signal?
There's got to be like some kind of electromagnetic interference.
Yeah. I've and I'm like, seen it's stuff like that really with weird. Wi-Fi too. Like when I have my car supports the wireless Android Auto, so I don't have to cable it. But when we drove from Pennsylvania or to Pennsylvania to Hershey, you know, we had to go through several of those tunnels on the turnpike, right? One set, I think it was the double set, where there's one tunnel and then there's a little space and then another tunnel. From right before I entered the tunnel until maybe 10 or 20 miles after that tunnel, it lost the connection with the car.
You think they put some kind of jammer in the
That's the only thing I can figure. Yeah,
in order like, to make people pay attention.
How far outside the tunnel? You said 20 miles?
20 miles? About 10 to 20 miles, somewhere around that. 10
to 20 miles.
Yeah.
For your cell phone?
Yeah, but basically the way the wireless Android Auto works is it connects to the car's Wi-Fi. So, I think that's Wi-Fi. It's either the Wi-Fi or the Bluetooth or both. So,
Do you think didn't have a tower in that vicinity after you got out of the tunnel?
No, it wasn't cell phone. It was just the connection to the car. The cell phone was just fine. So, it's just connecting and sending the map of Android Auto screen stuff to the car's built-in screen. So.
Oh. So it was it was Wi-Fi connection, not Bluetooth.
Correct. Wi-Fi or
local
Bluetooth.
Connection just between your car and the phone.
Yeah.
That is so weird.
Yeah. So for that, you know, if I ever take a trip again, probably what I'll do is before I get on the turnpike, I'll just plug I have a USB-C to USB-C cable. I can just plug that in and then that'll be fine. You know, that'll be perfectly fine. So and speaking of which, I did get my car back yesterday. So, so repair looks good. The weirdest thing though was, and I think this is happening with whatever scan tool that this Body Shop uses. Just to make it does that to make sure that, you know, that they didn't miss any sensors or anything like that. They ran it, must have ran it just before I went to pick it up. And I have OnStar, so I can see some of the diagnostic data coming from the car. And it said, service soon on everything. And I'm like, well, I hope that's not true. I mean, it did have that my tires were low, but it just, we got our first cold snap this week. So that's not unusual for that to happen. And I did top them off. But I drove it home and no idiot lights were on the dashboard. So I figured, eh, what the hell? You know, so I get back home, get in the office, I fire up the OnStar app again, and all those lights are clear. So I think it's just with whatever scan tool they're using, it sets all that shit on. I don't know why. Because I'm like, it's not that old. It's not even a year old yet. But I do enjoy that car much better than they gave me a Nissan Murano. I hated that thing. It's not that I like it didn't do, you know, the primary function, which is to give me transportation while I was waiting for the car to be fixed, you know. Little things. It's like the ergonomics that Nissan uses are completely different than my Chevy. You know, and it just was irritating that Nissan had cruise control, but you had to hit the button to turn it on every single time. And I don't mean just setting the speed. I mean just to let you set the speed. You had to press a button on it. My Traverse, it's on all the time. So, needless to say, I'm not going to buy a Nissan anytime soon. I just didn't like the ergonomics of the car. But that was a good, relatively good experience. It took him a little bit over a week to get it fixed. So, bumper damage primarily when my wife hit a parked car. Dad needs to start looking at new cars soon, don't you?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because that Honda's about had it, huh?
It still runs really good, and
oh wow.
I don't like, it's not like a go a lot of places, like the
right.
Like what I do consistently now is I take my daughter to swimming practice, and that's 3 days a week, so that's across town, and it's been holding up pretty well. Obviously, yes, I do need to get. Speaking of that, I think I need to renew my registration. That's an important thing. Or is that, well, anyway, yeah. that aside, the problem is, like, I'm looking at this as I'm like, yeah, I gotta get a new car. My wife just started this job, so like we're gonna be having more money coming in, but I'm already right. Floating two car loans because I'm helping my two daughters pay down their car. So I'm like, and I had to co-sign for those. And I'm like, I don't want, you know, I just want to get those paid off, and then I would feel comfortable. Because I don't want to have too much debt, right?
But, I'm with you.
You know, but, you know, the longer I go, you know, trading in this Honda Fit at this point, I might have to pay them to take it.
I was going to say.
So, you know, that.
If you go new, I mean, you could go, like to a CarMax or something. You know, you might be able to get a little bit smaller payment, a little older car, but you know.
Yeah, I'm in no rush, is what I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, yeah, right now, with the way interest rates are, it's not the right time to start a car.
I tell you what might be the right time, though, depending on your area, is what, and I think this is going to be mostly true. Instead of renting an apartment, go buy a fucking house. Your house payment might be less than your apartment rent.
Well, usually,
I'm not
joking. No, usually it is. That's just the way it's always been.
It's,
I mean,
particularly
seriously.
So now, because like I guarantee you that if we were still in that apartment, I'd have shot somebody by now. I would have bought a gun and I'm gonna go to gun and shot them. But anyway, now they would probably be charging right around. I bet you it's probably around $2,000. And I am maybe $1,500 a month in this house, and it's a nice house, and many many times bigger than the apartment. You know, the
Wait,
only thing
so
I don't
get... was that $2,000 a month. Did I include any utilities in the apartment?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's more than I get charged for this whole house
right?
here that I'm at. Well, with all the utilities included, except for
yeah,
internet.
It's gonna depend on where you
live. I'm paying more for my house.
Yeah.
Each month.
Yeah, it depends on when you close on your loan, of course. Now, granted, housing market is stupid too now. Where I guarantee you, I could probably profit if I sold this house right now. Easy. You know.
Oh yeah.
And that's not because I have $30,000 or $40,000 into it, because that's about what we brought to the table when we paid it down. We had $40,000 or $50,000 that we brought into as a down payment. You know, we kept some of the proceeds from our old house.
My mortgage, insurance, and taxes comes out to about $2,300 a month.
Right. Well, the interest rate is probably another thing that's higher yeah. now than it was a year ago.
I just had to refinance.
Right.
Because getting the foundation fixed. And so, yeah.
Okay, right,
That was a bit of a wake-up call when I did that refinance, and they changed. They basically doubled the percentage.
We closed and sold in exactly the right time periods on this house. I mean... You know, the market was so hot when we sold our old house that our house was only on the market for 4 days when we got an offer, and it needed work too. And then when we closed on this, the interest rates were low enough that, and we locked them in. So from the start, we're gonna, like I said, we're staying here a while, but. To that coin, other side of that coin though, all the houses almost there's like maybe four or five of the houses behind our house that are actually have people in it, and they have several back there that are either close to being finished or finished, with exception of things like grass because it's starting to get too cold to put the grass down, that are still available.
Yeah,
so
we are kind of hoping to move out of Texas, but when right. we do, if we sell this place instead of like renting it out,
right?
I should be able to make enough to.
Oh yeah,
definitely pay down the next place considerably.
Yes, absolutely. So I mean,
because
I paint your fine ass, with my tongue brush. Shut up! Just shut up.
Dad, it's a gun!
It's over. You were making egg from the oven in the kitchen. It's done. Sushi.
I'm still working on this damn thing. It's like I gotta ride the volume rockers on this. I don't know why.
Anyway, weird. Definitely weird. Ugh. Wonder whatever happened to who's the guy that did the shouldn't know, who was on the Hacker Public Radio one? Who was that? His handle was began with like, I can't remember.
Klaatu.
Klaatu, yeah. Wonder how he's doing. Haven't heard him in a long time.
Oh, he's doing great. He's down in New Zealand. He's working his ass off. He's doing doing a weekly show called GNU World Order.
I was going to be like, he's still got a show on HBR.
Yeah, he's still doing stuff on HBR. I mean, I talk to him every couple of weeks. He's doing really good.
Well, Well, that's nice to hear. Guess whose birthday it would have been today?
Lord D's?
Close.
Oh, 50.
Biddy's.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, it does. Article about people complaining about their insurance. I'm like, in Florida. Right. I'm like, you're in Florida.
Yeah, look, it's hurricane. You get every year.
You get a couple more years of hurricanes coming through every few months or something like that, and property values are going to start dropping.
They only had
dropping.
A couple, and it's like, but they got one that was really bad.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. It was horrible.
They've had seasons where they have like 6 or 7, 8 of them. Seriously.
Uh huh. Yep.
That's not uncommon.
Yep. And we're actually probably on the upswing for that. Because it's been quiet in the last couple of years with just one storm. So we'll see.
We're heading towards a solar minimum.
And that's true.
That drops the activity now.
But you know, so... It, right now, though, if I had to choose to move out of state, I'd want to go down closer to where my dad is. You know, so we're looking at Knoxville, Pigeon Forge, Sevierville area. That's where I'd like to go. It's not gonna go.
I'm not moving to California. You can't convince me.
No. No.
Never in a fucking million years.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. Sorry, Link. I love you, but I can't move there.
Never. Never, ever, ever.
Well, yeah, some of it's the politics in California is a little over the top.
Oh, they've destroyed that state. California should be amazing. It's a beautiful area, you know, and it's got so much potential, but they fucking poison that fucking state.
Well,
a lot of it is the
cost of living. I mean, there's not a company that would be willing to pay me enough for me to live in California.
Yes, exactly. I mean, dude, when you're talking about people working at Google living in a truck in the fucking parking lot.
Yeah.
On Google salary.
Making six figures and you still can't afford to live somewhere.
Yeah. That's California.
Thanks, but no.
Yeah. Granted, like I was talking about that the other day with someone. I said, I love to visit California. There's no way you can pay me to live here.
Yeah.
Colorado.
Somebody
is
tells
it.
Me it's, there's a job available in California. I'm like, yeah, you're not going to pay me enough.
Colorado or Knoxville? I like mountains versus humidity. Actually.
There are places in Colorado that are okay chunk of the year, and then
there's not,
and then there's some nope coming out of the sky.
Yep, I actually would not mind to live in the area of PA that Pat's in right now. I would not mind living there.
Of course, if I'm working, you know, like. Full-time remote, then I guess in the winter months I could like go
just not go anywhere.
live with my sister or my dad or something like that. Go hang out with them in Florida, you know,
here's
after
an
the
idea, Joe.
Hurricane season.
Here's an idea. Just sell everything and move into an RV.
That's
not too bad now.
I do not think the wife would approve. And I know
how large of an RV.
I know my teenagers would not approve.
Well,
now JoJo would be fine with it. You know, he doesn't care. He does online school, so it doesn't matter. But
you can get the Starlink, and you'll have a good connection in the coach. So.
Yeah.
But definitely.
Not something I'd like to do.
Yeah.
But, I know I'm weird. I like traveling, but I like coming home too.
There is a case for that. There really is. Yeah, that's one of. There's at least one of our engineers. That's what he and his wife do. They technically might have a home base, but I don't. Think it's like a big house or anything like that. Might be like a rented place or a condo or something. But they're rarely there. He goes all over the country. He's been in PA a couple times, down in Texas recently.
Oof, I gotta go talk to my doctor tomorrow.
Oh, well, that's never good, is it?
Oh, it's a 6-month checkup.
Yeah. Actually, mine's probably November for that.
Joe.
Got my blood work done again.
Yeah.
When I was the first time I've ever been, when we were out in Boulder, Colorado a few years ago for our anniversary, we went to Steamboat Springs, which is just a little north and up in the mountains. It's a ski resort area, but it had this like really awesome spring, hot springs over there. And it was, we got there, and that night it was the first snow of the season way up in the mountains.
You know,
beautiful.
And the next morning it was still snowing. And I had to drive up and down the mountains in that snow. I was like, I've
done that before when I was younger, of course. But, it's not something that I would look forward to trying again.
Yeah, I used to drive it all the time in Pennsylvania, but it's been years since I did that. And, you know, when you're looking over the edge of a cliff and you're in the roads and there's tractor trailers in front of you and behind you, and you're like,
when you live in Virginia and you get an inch of snow and they shut the whole fucking city down.
Yeah.
it's like the, I imagine it's very similar to those roads around Ruidoso. I don't know if you've been there, but you're literally looking down the cliff.
Yeah.
And there's these signs that are saying rocks are going to freaking fall on you.
Yep.
At the same time, there's other signs that say beware the bears crossing.
Yep.
Maybe I'm just too much of a city boy these days.
White knuckle driving. You know, another thing, speaking of moving, we've been talking about moving for years, and we would love to, amongst other places, just go maybe a little out there between Richmond and Charlottesville. That area, that's just really nice. Get some land, do gardening and stuff like that. But the problem we keep running into now is our daughter, who she's in a really good school. And also on like stuff like the swimming team and stuff like that. And so we don't want to take her away from that. And there's not like to stay in this district in this area that she could keep going to the school. Like there's no other place I'd really want to live than where I'm at right now. It's So that becomes tough.
Yeah, you don't want to go, and you don't want to go. I'm trying to think what direction Norfolk is from you.
Yeah, I can't go any further east. I'll be in the water. Yeah.
I did get offered a job. Where was it? I think it was in Washington. But they wanted to pay me like $65 an hour. And it's like,
no.
You know, I don't mind. Well, that's still $65 an hour. If you're working 40 hours a week, it comes out to like $140,000 or something crazy like that, or almost $140,000. But the problem was I don't like hourly. I'd rather have a salary. That way,
yes.
If they decide to be stupid and just say, "Oh, you're only getting 2 hours this week,"
you're right.
I still get the same pay. But, it's great if you're always working overtime, but that's not a guarantee. I'd rather know what my paycheck is month to month, even when I put in 60, 80 hours.
Right. Well, and that's the one thing, like, I don't know if it's changed too much, but I know right around the time I got my job with Aleutian, it was contract to hire, and I was really worried about that. It ended up working out in my favor in spades.
That's how I got my current job.
Right. But every other person we hired on my current team, I'm changing teams soon, but...
Again?
Kind of, sort of. It's a weird one. I can't really talk about it. No, nothing like that. I really can't talk about it right now.
Yeah. NDA.
But, yes. Not really that. I didn't have to sign anything like that, but I just don't want about it until it's official.
Oh yeah.
I don't. All the folks they hired after me, at least on our my current team, were hired direct. They were not contract to hire. So.
And my company's not hiring anybody direct right now. It's all contractors. Right. And I can't get these the good contractors. I can't get them converted to
right
direct.
See, now a lot of the times they still do contracting, but now it's definitely for a temporary thing. Like, oh, we need all this work, all right? So that and we don't have enough people in the teams that would normally do that work. So can you do this work for us? Sure. Oh. You know, things like
you gonna pay putting, anymore? Put,
yeah, no, I don't get paid no more. Now this is
I don't like I wouldn't either. And then you know they throw more work at you and it's like this is your work now and it's like
right.
Okay.
This is like all setting up. Like when we first switched over to Datadog, we did stuff like that where they had to go in and do all that up for the monitors and stuff. You know, so there was a lot of that.
Well, I started helping out on the demand management side, and then right. You know, if I'm going to push back and say, no, we can't take this unless you give us another person, I have to actually be able to show it. And that's
right.
What demand management is all about. So it works right. Out.
So that's like in my upcoming move, it's more of a lateral move. It's not moving down, so that's good. When I get more details, I'll be able to talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But in any event, you know, that's kind of the way it is with us. We are probably in a hire mode because there's a huge push to get people to move to the SaaS version of our product, which that's going to take decades.
we had a nice fun meeting today where they're like trying to say about the percentages of people coming back to the office, and we need everybody to do this whole hybrid thing where you're doing 2 days at home, 3 days in the office, as long as your boss says it's okay, blah 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 blah. But there's still like no one on the floor. There's like we have space for like I don't know like 200 people on the one floor where my team sits. I'm not going in yet, but some of my team members are. And they're like, there's maybe max 10, 15 people on that floor at any given time. So, and I know that like all over the US, there is this push for where people are just like, no, I'm not going back to the office. I'm reclaiming my commute time, sleeping in a little bit longer. Getting to spend more time with the kids. So, and I know that's why the company has not started pushing for it yet, because they've already had one mass exodus when they started trying the whole come back to office thing. They're extremely worried about another one.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we're not pushing for, you know, we're making it completely optional for everyone. We're not pushing anyone to wants to come in the office to come in the office. If they want to come in the office, they can come in the office. If they don't, they don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, So that's the basics of it. So, good example is on my new team. If I do end up traveling somewhere for a meeting or something, it'll probably be to Virginia instead of to Florida. But, you know, we'll see. That could always change. They've been talking about doing it in person for a while, but.
Which I have an in person next week.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so I'll be gone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm coming back Thursday. So
that's right.
Monday.
You talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm kind of looking forward to it. That's exciting.
Are you going
to
be available for next week's show?
No, I will not be here next week's show.
Okay.
I will be.
So Joel will be recording,
or Pat, now, or somebody.
Yeah, we can record, no problem.
Here's the thing. I want to talk about a shitty company. Not my company, but have any of you had to deal with messaging services where you would want to create a subscription channel that
like on Slack or something,
people could subscribe to with their phone or email or whatever. Like,
no.
the thing is, it's not, you know, you would think, like, of course you could have like an email list or whatever, but when you start getting into Android and Apple phones, it becomes a lot more challenging. So instead of having to write our own application stack to handle this, we partnered and took on the services of a company called Airship. And what they do is they do the messaging. They handle the messaging side of things for you. So you integrate with their API and you can have it's just like any other service that you sign up for. You have, you know, your account in their system, and when somebody comes in to subscribe, whatever method that they're subscribing with, you just identify that, whether it's like iPhone or Android, there's separate channels for that, and they handle all of that, taking the subscription and tying it to your account. And all you have to do then is just send the message. You send the message to them, and they blast it out to the people. And by and large, I will say it works pretty well. It is a confusing mess to have to go through and deal with this. I'm not sure if it's because their documentation is terrible or because it's just a fucking confusing mess. But we ran into a problem a couple weeks ago where one of the things that a business would like to see is statistics on, you know, okay, so if we have people subscribing to message, you know, message blasts that we send out, you know, how many people are subscribed? Who are the subscribers? You know, that kind of information they would like to know. Who is this message reaching?
Metrics. Most businesses metrics. Run on metrics.
Yes, obviously, right. Metrics, right? So we have been migrating from a lot of, I've talked in the past, into the Google Cloud services. And some of the things that we have been moving away from are containers for running just like task-based applications. Something that could just be done simply in a function. It's, you know, like download this video. So instead of having a complete application where we go out and look for a video, you know, we go out and subscribe to a video service feed, and then we, you know, we spin up a container to do that and then download the application and transcode everything. We could just pass those through different cloud functions, and ultimately it should be cheaper, right? Instead of an ongoing container. Well, we used to have an application that would aggregate the counts for these different, the metrics, collect the metrics for these different channels. And what happened when we transferred it from a container that would run on kind of like a nightly basis, is when it collects these data, to a function, the function could not complete in the time allocated that allows the function. You have a 10-minute limitation on how long a function could complete. And the reason that this is, it almost sounds like completely absurd, right, of what has to be done. Because when I found this out, I was like, come on, this is ridiculous. This cannot be true, right? This cannot be true. So what I was told, and when we explored ways that we could probably get around this 10-minute limitation, is that when the only thing that they can get from the API service that this company runs is the complete list of people subscribed to your service by each subscription. Now, the big problem here that I find is they call it a channel. And a channel can mean one of three things. It could be like iPhone application channel, or it could be like your development channel, or a channel is an individual subscriber on that service. So like if I were to subscribe to the email like the notifications on my phone, that I am a channel right there, right? So they have channel to this company means three different things. So it gets really confusing fast. So the only thing that I can get from their API is a complete list of all the channels. So it's a complete list of all the subscribers. And each subscriber entry says what different things they're subscribed to, which I would call like a channel. What different is it sports? Is it, you know, entertainment, blah blah blah, these things. That's like a different topic. They call them topics. That's it. So what happens is you can go out and make a call to their API and you can get like 100 values returned at a time. So you get 100 values or 1,000 values returned. And each one of those entries is a single subscriber or a channel, and it lists that they're topics. And then once you get through that first 1,000, there's a next page that you have to pull. So you then pull the next page and you have to do that. And some of our sites have like millions of subscribers. So the time it takes to download 1,000 channels and process that, then grab the next and process that feed, it ultimately exceeds the 10-minute time limit that we have. So I thought that this is completely absurd. This is a company, right? They have all this information. Can they not just like give us an aggregate, like the metrics right there? I can't believe that they don't have those metrics available. And sure enough, they don't. Which is, I don't.
Stupid?
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, this company's been around for a while, and I cannot imagine that people would not want this information. Like, companies wouldn't want to know how many people are subscribed. Like, it should be kind of simple. And so when I go to there, they have a UI, and I'm like, sure enough, it's got to be in their UI, right? It's got to provide this information. They don't. If you want to go look at who's subscribed to what, like on your application, they'll list it for you at 10 subscriptions per page that you have to keep clicking through, and there's no way to filter. There's no way to just get like a bit of it. It's just the complete thing right there, and they'll show you 10 per page just because it is, I can't believe it. That is the worst like metrics I have ever seen. They don't exist, and you'd think that they would exist. But anyway, yeah. That drove me mad. I spent a whole day digging through their API. Now, the weird thing is they have something called a channel list, right? And you could filter the channel list by topic, but a channel list has to be something that you create and subscribe, like, add channels too, because remember, a channel is a subscriber in this case. So it's a list of subscribers that you can then take that channel list and get information by topic on it, but you already have to have created a channel list with all those subscribers, and that's not the way it works. Like, it's really fucking bizarre. Crazy stuff, Joel. Crazy stuff. So what was ultimately decided upon? Because like I was thinking of all these different ways that we could possibly do this, that we didn't have to really rely on any other kind of service, right? Like a database or a key store system like Redis or whatever, where you could just, you know, you have to save something somewhere and carry on to the next level. Because the idea was, well, why don't we just you know, process create a function that processes just those 100 messages, and then it passes that next page that it has to process off onto another function, you know, another iteration of that function, instead of trying to do it all in one function. But then how do you carry over the metrics from the first function into running it on a completely different function and collect that without, like, having, you know, creating a database or whatever to store that information in, which is just recreating their system that they already have over there locally. So what was ultimately thought and decided upon, which would probably work, is grab this function and start processing it. So when you read the page, you get that page, you dump out to Google Storage a document that just has the next page URL for that site. And then it would keep doing that. We get to the next page, drop that out there, get to the next page, drop that out there, get to the next page out there. So if it would crash and start all over again, it would go out and look to see whether there was a document out there that existed with the next page. And then it would just grab the values and pick up from there and continue on. And that seemed like it might work, might be a better solution. And then they just said, you know, forget it, scrap the whole thing. Scrap the whole thing and said, they can't give us the metric. And case in point, that was one example, like you're saying right there, Joe, of our company, like a lot of other companies, is hitting, you know, some hard financial things that they have to contend with, and they're not hiring right now, and they have to make hard decisions as to, you know, we want to use this messaging service, we want to have this capability, but we need other things done that take priority over trying to figure out the metrics on this. So right now we put that on the back burner. It's not feasible to waste more time. We have other more pressing things that we need to get done. And that, Joel, is how you do the delegation.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right there. That's how you do the delegation.
What happened?
Yep.
Money,
well,
money,
all business
money.
Run on metrics. I don't see how they could not have metrics. And
yeah,
still consider themselves a business.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, how many subscribers do I have? Let me know. I have no idea how to find that information out. It shouldn't be that hard.
Right?
Like, give me a count. Just give me a freaking count. You have to have them in a database somewhere. Can't you just give me a count across a couple of tables? That would make sense.
Yeah. Yep. That's like our internal product we have. It's like it goes and grabs the data of what versions of stuff you have for various things on a client's platform, and then puts them in I'm trying to think if this is an S3 bucket or an actual, it might be like a DynamoDB or something in Amazon, but then you can query it with Amazon Athena, okay? It always boils down to, well, there's one we missed, so like we got a critical payment gateway update coming, and they're like, and one of the requirements is you have to upgrade to a newer version of Windows in order to run it, of course. And I wanted to see, well, how bad was it? How many clients do we have that needs to have that? Nope, we don't have that data in there. It's like, damn it. You know. So of course, there are other priorities that you know, basically take precedence over anything else. So, but that. Or, like, some other weird things, too. Like, I select my new work laptop. It's going to be a MacBook Pro. where it is, the M1 Pro. Alright. Not in stock. They're back ordered right now. Hopefully I'll get it in November, so.
I was going to say, are you going to settle and get something different, or are you going to hold out?
I'm going to hold out. Mostly because I want something thinner, and I want something that's not Windows, and that's my only option. So, so that's my thing right there. I'm waiting on, and I'm sure it's all supplies and stuff, but like, and it also makes me wonder if Apple's moving away from the M1 series right now. They have a lot of M2 stuff out. They just brought out on the iPad Pro line M2 based iPad Pros, and then they updated the design and processor of their base iPad. Now the base iPad costs more, of course. But here's the silliest thing they did. If you're at all familiar with the iPad, they have this thing called the Apple Pencil. They have Apple Pencil 1 and the latest one, which is the Apple Pencil 2. That's the one I have for my iPad Air. Then brand new base level iPad. The pencil worked it, but the only one that works with it is the generation 1. Because, well, various things. And of course, the new iPad, base level iPad, has USB-C versus a lightning cable. Well, the Apple Pencil 1 requires lightning to charge it. So what do they do? Design a really ugly lightning to USB adapter. Oh, it's horrible looking. You know, because the nice thing with the Apple Pencil 2, which is, like I said, I had that for mine, is it just docks on the magnetic charger plate on the side of the iPad, and that's how it charges. There's no cable to plug into it. Very easy to deal with. And this is a brand new device they're bringing out that doesn't have that pad on it. I'm like, are you guys insane? Oh well, I guess they're banking on the fact that probably anybody who buys the base level iPads, not really so much for creation that they're buying it for or note taking, they're buying it so that they can hand it to their kid or for consumption. Correct. Yeah, which is what I use my Air for. You know, or if I bought an iPad Pro, same thing. But I'm holding out that the Pixel tablet's going to be something to actually be worth picking up next year.
I hope so. I mean, we need a really good, strong non-iPad tablet.
Non-iPad. Maybe even a Linux tablet would be nice.
Yeah, if it fucking worked.
And then get only one OS update.
What happened?
Nothing. Everybody just quit talking.
Now I've got a horrible cramp. It is getting late. But I just all of a sudden got this horrible cramp in my right leg and I had to get up.
What the hell are you doing that you need? You're getting cramps in your legs. You on a standing desk? Treadmill desk?
Well, I'm sitting at mine. I was just a recliner up in my office. I don't know what's going on. And it's up in my thigh, which I rarely get them there. Whew.
Blood clot.
Just got one at work tomorrow, then going down to Circleville amongst the pumpkins.
I'm going to go see Iron Maiden.
Oh, where
you
playing?
Go.
They're playing Prudential Center, New Jersey.
Wow, that's awesome. Who's Who's opening it for him?
Some band. I don't know.
You're going to love it, man. When was the last time you saw them?
Ooh, I saw them at the Book of Souls tour. How long ago was that? Like 4 or 5 years ago?
Okay. Oh, they put on such a good show, don't they?
Fantastic. They're still great. See them why, they still, they're amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's not a lot of acts that can fill an arena and totally kick ass.
Sure. Well, you enjoy that show, sir.
Thank you.
And Joel, you enjoy your dill dog. Or looking at the dill dog, or your fried stick of butter, or whatever the hell you're going to get this year.
Nothing like that.
All right. So here we go. Here are your promos. We'll see you in 7 days. Take it away.
I am short.
Oh my God. It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast for the hacker community for the hacker. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
I keep playing that wrong one.
No, we can't.
I keep playing that wrong one, and I don't know why I keep thinking it's the wrong one. But, yeah, here we go. This is not...
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy, it's a gun!
It's over. You were making it for young in the kitchen. It's done. Sushi.
I'm still working on this damn thing. It's like I gotta ride the volume rockers on this. I don't know why.
Anyway, weird.
Yeah.
Definitely weird. Ugh. Wonder whatever happened to who's the guy that did the Chino, who was on the Hacker Public Radio one? Who was that? His handle was began with a I can't remember. Ugh.
Klaatu,
yeah. Wonder how he's doing. Haven't heard him in a long time.
Oh, he's doing great. He's down in New Zealand. He's working his ass off. He's doing doing a weekly show called GNU World Order.
Yeah, I was gonna be like, he's still got a show on HBR.
Yeah, he's still doing stuff on HBR. I mean, I talk to him every couple of weeks. He's doing really good.
Well, that's nice to hear. Guess whose birthday it would have been today?
Lord D's?
Close.
Oh, 50. 50.
Diddy's.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, it does. Technically,
I don't put out as regularly.
Smell fucking supply. Time someone else's.
My fly is open. It was with my mouth.
And all that shit sounded pretty decent.
Oh, we haven't heard mine yet. You haven't played mine in a while.
I'm short.
Oh, we play that one all the time, but that's Kai.
Wait, which one's yours?
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Let me find that one.
My favorite hot dogs, too. I made beef stew in a crock pot today, and it was fan-friggin-tastic.
I had a Happy Meal today.
Ooh, did you get the buckets?
I got the bucket. That's why we got Happy Meals today, is because the wife wanted the buckets. So we got like 5 buckets.
So do you have all of them, or you just have the one?
Just the one, the white one. Everybody has the white one. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even know there was other ones.
Yeah, they have a pumpkin, a ghost, and a witch. I think. At least you didn't get the weirdo one. The weirdo adult one. With the four eyes.
I know Jackie wants the adult one eventually.
Good luck with that. They're pretty much sold out.
Yeah, they keep being sold out, so you know, whatever, but
I haven't been to McDonald's in years and years.
Honestly, it was terrible.
I'm gonna say you're probably better for it.
Yeah.
Can you get a breakfast sandwich with it? Or do you have the hockey puck burger?
The hockey puck burger.
Yeah.
It's got to be the Happy Meal. So
actually, I'd look and see if they still have it here. But my favorite breakfast sandwich in the world is from McDonald's: the steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Oh, it's delicious.
You know, the burger is pretty bad, but the at least it wasn't the nuggets. Nuggets are terrible.
Yeah, I gotta put on my good
nuggets
sweatpants.
Are worse.
Yeah, my fly is open.
It's gotten bad.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
There you go.
There it is.
It was better years ago.
Yeah. No, I remember McDonald's from like the 80s and the early 90s. It was still halfway decent, but then by the late 90s, it was pretty bad.
I think part of the problem is they're all afraid they're going to get sued for burnt oil and food poisoning. So they cooked the shit out of it to the point where it's
not to mention the fact,
like,
McDonald's fries.
Freaking tiny.
The McDonald's fries that originally were fried in beef tallow. So
that's what made it taste so good.
Oh yeah.
Well, nowadays also they shove so many chemicals in them. It's like so all dudes preservatives and shit.
Yeah.
Yep. The Jack in the Box is still pretty good. Carl's Jr. is pretty good.
Well, it's Friday. During the day, we're going down to the pumpkin show. And I'm going to skip the Dill Dog this time.
Five Guys is completely overrated.
Five Guys is delicious.
Five Guys is completely overrated.
If you're ever in Seattle, I would suggest Little Woody's.
There you go. Never heard of that one before, but then that must be a West Coast one.
Well, it's specific to Seattle. Like, they don't exist outside of Seattle, I'm pretty sure.
I'd love to go into a proper White Castle one time and just try out some sliders.
Yeah, we got them over here. They're good still. They're decent. They haven't really changed much.
Yeah, I like them, but you just got to be careful when you eat them.
Yeah, don't drink Jack Daniels while you're eating them. You're asking for trouble.
Do they still have chili burgers?
At White Castle?
Nah.
I thought they had chili burgers for one time there, a limited time.
No.
I don't think so.
I tell you what, they do have a waffle breakfast sandwich, I think it is. It's chicken and waffles. That's what it is. Chicken and waffle sandwich.
I haven't had the chicken waffle, but the regular breakfast sandwich is pretty good.
Yep. Well, that's kind of breakfast sandwich where you got to order two or three of the damn things.
Yeah, I mean, if you do the waffles, what, like 1,000 calories more each?
Yeah, I'd only do maybe one of those, maybe.
You know what's good, speaking of waffles, is take a waffle and put a little cream cheese on there and some bacon. Oh, and an egg on top. Nice runny egg.
All right. Now, there's a place called Max and Irma's here. They are local, but they're also have expanded from there. And they have a burger called the Sunrise burger, I think, which has an egg on top of it. Nothing we should eat, but now see their new 1921 lineup, which I'm still trying to figure out how Ghost Pepper Cheese is 1921, but barbecue bacon and ghost pepper cheese on a slider.
Yeah, I don't know what that 1921 thing is. It's just a fucking
right? Burger. Yeah. Let's see, you can get different cheese on the cheese sliders now. Just go for the American or smoked cheddar. American's just fine.
Well, pepper jack makes anything taste better.
Yeah, they can get that too. Or, okay, let's see. This is American smoked cheddar, jalapeno, or ghost pepper cheese. Which I'm not sure about ghost pepper on a burger. On chicken, maybe.
No.
White Castle did have chili back in December, or December through March of 2011-12.
Another place that has really gone downhill is like Wiener Schnitzel.
We don't have those.
Wiener Schnitzel used to be really, really good in like late 90s, early 2000s, but later years they just started adding so much salt to the chili that it's inedible, at least to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a heartburn special.
Yeah.
It's like Bob Evans is horrible now. We won't go there. It used to be good back when my mother-in-law was still around.
And Sonic is still edible, but that's about the best you can say for it.
Yeah. The only thing I like to go to Sonic for is their drinks.
Their blasts.
Yeah. I go with the cherry limeade, especially since they make a sugar-free version.
I have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, cherry limeade is like the bomb.
That way when you get a Route 44, you're not, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Immediately getting diabetes just looking at the straw.
You know what I miss? Is barbecue.
I'm in Texas.
Yeah.
That's not much of a concern.
I make my own, so...
I mean, to make barbecue means pulled pork with a vinegar-based sauce.
Absolutely.
I'm in Texas.
No, see, that's barbecue for Joe is brisket, right?
Well, you can get pulled pork too,
or that, yeah.
if you have a tomato anywhere in the same county with you when you're making your sauce, you're wrong.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Yeah.
No, I'm gonna disagree with that.
I mean, I come from a place where. The quality of your barbecue, if you're running for office, gets you elected. Like, they literally had a government race where the two candidates set up on opposite ends of a football field, and they both cooked barbecue, and the one that had the better barbecue won.
Honestly, that sounds just like this one place that I was at. Texas.
Sounds like North Carolina.
That was North Carolina.
I was gonna say it sounds like, man.
You keep reminding you said Carolina there, Dan. It reminds me of that Carolina barbecue we ate at when the Southeast Linux Fest was in Spartanburg. Oh,
yeah. That but if you go downtown and you take a rock with you and pick a direction, spin around randomly and pick a direction and throw said rock, you're probably going to hit a barbecue place.
In Texas, yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same in Eastern North Carolina.
Yes. Although I never found one near in Charlotte. Now, granted, Charlotte, I don't explore too far away from the hotel there.
Yeah, you're not going to find much out at the airport because, you know.
No. Well, Dale Jr. did have, he's got the Whiskey River in the airport, but the one that was outside the airport was shut down. So, always wanted to try that place. And I usually don't have enough time when I'm flying through Charlotte.
Oh, let's start the show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let's see how the audio goes this week. Now, I'll tell you, there's some application on my phone that is just sucking the hell out of my battery.
I'm sorry.
It's probably the Reddit application.
Yeah.
You should be able to go in and look at the battery statistics and be able to tell what's eating the battery.
The only non-default apps I have on my phone are Osmand, the open source map app, and Signal.
Yeah, I can get that, yeah.
I am running, I'm not even running stock Android, I'm running Graphene OS.
Well, I'm running as bone stock Android as you can get, because it's a Pixel 6 Pro.
I mean, I'm running a Pixel, it's and Graphene OS runs on Pixel, like it's designed for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that Google Tether anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know, it tells me Chrome is the biggest user at 10%.
That's bizarre, unless... Now, see, here's one of the annoying things.
Do you have
things...
it showing background apps, too?
Right. Or do you have... Have you inadvertently enabled notifications for some of the websites? Because that's an annoying thing that a lot of websites do now. You go there to read a story, and you're like, hey, do you want to enable notifications? I'm like, fuck you.
Or do you have it always on screen?
Yeah.
No, I have it mostly turned off all the time. Like, not turned off, but I don't have the screen on.
Does your battery just suck now?
I don't know. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. I mean, it used to last, like, a good day and a half, and now it's, like, three quarters of a day.
So which one do you have now?
The Pixel 4a.
Oh, that's why.
How old is it? That's what I have, and yeah, the battery is just getting shitty.
How old is it? It's like a year.
Let's see. There was a 5, there was a 6, and now there's a 7. So there's been three versions.
But they release those for multiple years, or they keep selling them for multiple years. So I assume they keep manufacturing them.
It's also very finicky on what you plug it into to charge it.
Like that's a lot of
problems.
If you don't plug it into there, like what it comes with, it like hardly charges at all.
Yeah. Well,
so that was a problem I had until I switched to Graphene OS, and then that problem went away.
Okay. Could be worth picking up like a, they have a,
it's not a dirty power water. Problem. Yeah.
No.
It's not a power problem with the Pixels, but like with the Note 10 Plus that me and Joel both had. I know, Joel, you've upgraded since then.
Right.
But if you didn't have a powerful charger, you might as well have no charger at all.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Exactly that. The
2-amp charger just wasn't going to do the job.
Yeah.
It's just like trying to charge a MacBook. An iBook or whatever. MacBook Pro without the official charger.
Right.
Boy, that just, you might as well just throw it right in the garbage.
Official charger. It doesn't have to be the official charger, but what I would do is go to Amazon, look up the Anker gallium arsenide chargers, GAN, and they have one that does 20 watts out. That's the one I would try.
But I already have a charger. I'm just saying. I mean, if I don't plug
you have
into
the other
that
one. Okay.
Yeah, I have.
Right. Okay.
It's usually upstairs in the bedroom, you know, where I charge it at night.
Yeah, I've got two. I have
And you don't want to get pushed into buying another one.
Right. I can't have enough because I have one upstairs, and then I have technically I have two official chargers. I have the 30-watt charger that I bought when I bought my phone. It's the official Google one. Then I have the same charger that plugs it that come with the Pixel Stand 2. That's at my desk at my nightstand. That's where I bought my phone on wireless charging. That is the only wireless charger I have that charges it anywhere close to wired speeds. And I don't know if it works with all the any Qi phone. It probably should. But
yeah, I've never seen a fast wireless charger that was actually fast.
Right. This one is. It pretty much is. As long as is it going to be exactly as fast as my wired charger? No, not close. But it's not horrible either. It's fine for my desktop or my nightstand, I should say. All right, let's start it. You ready there, Dano?
Yep.
All right.
4976. Can you hear the dogs? Zeus.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear them.
Heard the dogs.
Yeah. Do you hear the dogs? Do you hear multiple dogs or just one?
I just hear Zeus.
That's Hercules.
Just one.
I don't know.
Sorry,
dogs,
Hercules. Yes.
The dogs
sorry.
Outside are going nuts. And I.
Huh.
I wonder if there's a fox running around. Or somebody just walking another dog. Or the male person's coming around. I don't know. All right.
This late?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. We get mail every day, and sometimes we get it twice a day.
Yeah, you know? If your regular guy is sick and somebody had to cover. And
yeah, sometimes we get it twice a day.
Delivered. Well, I will say this. Some of the SurePost stuff I've gotten late. That's where they send it. SurePost, one of them is there's one for FedEx and one for UPS where they go all the way to your area via the UPS system or the FedEx system, and then they ship the last mile to you via the U.S. Post Office.
Yeah, I don't never
don't
I
get
that.
Many of those. Yeah.
All right.
Go.
Episode 400, not 976. Here we go. Give me a count around, Joe.